Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here is a State Senator Scott Wagner, who is also running for governor in our beautiful Commonwealth. Hi, Scott.
Sue, good morning. How are you doing?
I am living the dream.
There you go. That makes two of us.
Yep, absolutely. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But since my name got thrown around in your debate, obviously, I can't resist. How did this all transpire, Scott, in the Republican debate with you and Paul Mango?
Well, if you remember last year, you had Paul on your show, and you asked him a question about property taxes. And then, he came back and said that he didn't think Senate Bill 76 was really the answer. And then you pinned him down, but now he's flip-flopped. And he's now all 76 is okay now because he's talked to Senator Argo, and he thinks it's going to work. And, I mean, I don't know whether it's Paul the Flipper, Flipping Paul, Lion Paul, I don't know what it is. But, you know, he's taken direction from his political consultants. They say, listen, Paul, you got to say this if you want to get elected. And, you know, listen, the bottom line is property taxes are huge in Pennsylvania. You know it. You have a lot of people in your show that talk about it. I'm the guy that can get it done.
You have been, Scott. Now, for as long as I can remember, and it's been years, this issue has been front and center with you.
Well, Sue, I've been in the Senate since 2014 after winning a writing campaign. And, you know, the reason for the Willie Nelson song is, you know, I've been on the road really since 2014. I've had probably between 14, 15, 16, and 17 last year, I had over 650 events that I've attended throughout Pennsylvania, different meetings, and I hear it everywhere. And the reality is that we have to do something about it. And there are solutions, but nobody has the backbone or the motivation to do it. But I'm going to get it done. It can be done. There's no doubt about it.
Now, I think we may have talked about this before. If it seems redundant, to stop me. But you're in the state Senate right now. Why can't we get it done right now?
Sue, because you need a governor who is leading the charge. Yesterday, there were Department of Education had hearings, appropriations hearings, and here's the headline that came through: Department of Education fails to make school property tax elimination a priority. And it says, so it goes on to say, during today's Senate Appropriations Committee budget hearing with the Pennsylvania Department of Education, Secretary Rivera stated that the school property tax elimination is not a main priority for the department, according to Senator Dave Argo. The bottom line is, you know, if you just have a bunch of people just running around in circles and you don't have a clear leader, you're not going to get anything done. And Governor Wolf is not a leader. He's a failed governor. I mean, heck, the guy couldn't sign a budget in 3 years. So you need a champion for the people, and I'm going to be that champion when I'm governor.
Let me talk to you in very stark terms here, because I believe that there is an organization in Pennsylvania that does not want school property tax reform to happen. They are extremely powerful, although Bob Mello once told me they weren't. They are called the PSEA. You're not in cahoots with those guys, are you? Please say no.
Well, Sue, you're talking about the Pennsylvania State Education Association. That's the PSEA, which is the teachers union. Absolutely not. I mean, I'm actually their number one. I'm their number one target throughout Pennsylvania. But you also have, you know, you have the PSEA, you have the Pennsylvania School Board Association. There are many, many people that are opposing this because, you know, what you're doing, Sue, is you're moving their cheese around. They don't have control over the money, but, you know, we also don't have control over how they spend the money. And, you know, they build these great big Taj Mahal schools in certain areas. The teachers' salary increases are generous every year, so are benefits, so are, you know, obviously the pensions are growing. But at the end of the day, no, I am, trust me, I'm not part of the PSCA. They have a target on my back. I have to keep moving every day.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, because I know it's been done in other states, much to the delight of the people who live there. In other states, they've had the fortitude to actually ban teacher strikes. And I know here that some lawmakers go weak in the knees. Do you think we're ever going to see the day when there is enough clout in the legislature to make this a thing? Because where we live, these school strikes are disruptive, they're rancorous, and we don't believe they should be allowed because of the essential need for these teachers to be in the classroom.
Well, Sue, I agree that teachers should not strike. And I mean, I've watched what, three strikes since I've been in the Senate. And I think there was a out in the western part of the state, in around the Pittsburgh area, I think it was Peters Township, there was a district that the teachers went on strike. I mean, the average salaries are $90,000 to $110,000 a year. And no, we have an obligation to have schools that are open every day, 180 days a year. The teachers should be on site. And, you know, the children should have, you know, the ability to come in and spend the whole day there and without strike and disruption. So this is, the striking has to come to an end. And I think we're getting closer to that. But I think people would be appalled if they knew what some of their teachers made in certain areas. I mean, now you go to sort of, you know, maybe parts of central PA, maybe north central PA, salaries aren't quite as generous, because they're different areas. But when you go to Pittsburgh and you go down into the southeast, or even my school, my own home school district in York, Pennsylvania, I think in 2013 or 14, the average salary was $88,000. Today, it's sort of like more like $92,000, $93,000, plus health care benefits, pension, the whole nine yards. It's pretty generous. They're doing a lot better in many ways than a lot of the average people out there.
Yeah, and a lot of people, Scott, are just trying to hang on by the skin of their teeth. And, of course, this property tax thing. Where we live, the sheriff sale insert is lengthy and ridiculous. So I don't want to lose sight of that, and I hope that does happen. But I wanted to talk to you because I know that you were vehemently opposed to the position of state meteorologist being added under the Wolf administration. We know this is a guy from Luzerne County, so of course we have to recognize that this is somebody from our area who has a state job. But the salary is at least 60, and the bennies go for about 44 grand. And I don't even know, have you heard from this guy? We tried to get him on the air and we couldn't, but what is he doing? And last week we had a terrible situation here on 380 where people spent the night on the roadway because there were problems. So I guess my question is about the meteorologist and what you've heard about that snowstorm last week from people.
Sue, I know is I guess up in the northeast, you know, Senator Scavello tells me, there are just tens of thousands of homes, you know, without power. And I think as you get, you know, more north, up in Senator Baker's area, there's issues. No, I haven't heard from the meteorologist, haven't heard his name since he was hired. And Sue, I think he's probably, you know, closer to 100,000 and in salary, and then there's benefits on top of it.
Right, yeah, it's about 100, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but with the, you know, the state, PennDOT has a contract, I believe, with AccuWeather out of State College. I mean, I don't get a lot of the things that this governor has done. He does whatever he wants to do. He's not in it for the people. Sue, do you want to hear the outrage of the week from last week?
Absolutely.
During one of the appropriations hearings?
Yes, please.
So we had the Pennsylvania higher education system in, and they own the 14 state. Pennsylvania has 14 state-owned universities. Mansfield, Westchester, Millersville, Shippensburg, et cetera. So there's a swim coach. This is really the sort of the whole, you know, the meat of the problem. So there was a swim coach down at Westchester that in 2015, his base salary was around $78,000. But in 2015, the W-2 earnings were $320,000. And in 2016, his W-2 earnings were $420,000. And he got another $100,000 because he filed a grievance against the college. Now, the reason he gets paid more than the base salary is that he runs summer programs and, you know, other programs outside of his sort of scope of responsibilities. So then in 2017, last year, he retired his salary was 78, his W-2 earnings were 316. So this Westchester swim coach retired last year with a pension payment monthly of $15,182 per month.
Wow.
Okay. That's $182,000 a year. And, you know, that's, listen, you know, there's examples of this all over Pennsylvania. This guy just participated in a system that allowed him to do this. I mean, he knew what he was doing, but it's based on your final 3 years of earnings when you retire. But, you know, to think that somebody is going to get $182,000 a year, possibly has the ability to live another 30 years, he's going to make almost $6 million in a 30-year period, and he made nowhere near that when he was, teaching or instructing, and his base salary was 78. So this is just another snooker job on the hardworking people of Pennsylvania. So that's sort of the outrage of last week.
Yeah, that's terrible. And it looks like there was, I hate to accuse someone, but it looks like there was an active padding here of the final 3 years of the work. I mean, can anybody say there wasn't?
Sue, listen, it's a system that is ripe for abuse, and it was abused. And again, this is what we're up against. And what's happened down at the state-owned universities, the unions really have control of those universities. I mean, the pension liability 3 years ago was $800 million. And when a lot of the professors retire from the 14 state-owned universities, they get health care for the rest of their life paid for by Pennsylvania taxpayers. So while there was an $800 million liability 3 years ago, the health care, post-retirement health care liability was $1.2 billion, Sue, $400 million more than the pension liability. So people are talking about the pension liability. We need to be talking about the health care liability, too.
All right. So, I hope that some of this is resolved. Somebody wanted me to ask you, because this topic obviously has been discussed widely, the possibility of legalizing and taxing recreational marijuana in the state of Pennsylvania as a source of revenue. Scott, how do you feel about that?
Sue, I am opposed strongly against the legalization of recreational marijuana. I have 250 trucks on the road every day throughout South Central Pennsylvania. You know, we agreed to pass medical marijuana. We believe there are people that with medical conditions will benefit from, you know, medical marijuana. But when you get into recreational, you're moving into a whole different arena. And, you know, we have an opioid heroin crisis in PA. I just think that's going to be just more problems on top of the current problems we have. So I'm very much opposed to recreational legalization.
All right. And finally, before I let you go, we had the chairman of the GOP on our show last year, Val DiGiorgio. And I kind of got into it with him about property tax reform. And he didn't seem very happy about my ideas either. And he seemed to think that it was going to be a control issue, that Harrisburg was trying to take too much control. Has he had a change of heart or a come to Jesus on this? Because I was disappointed with that.
Well, Sue, you know, that is a big discussion about, you know, if all of a sudden Harrisburg has control over the dollars, you know, that takes away local control. Well, I can tell you there are a lot of situations that we have local control now, and when you have local control, you have local corruption. So I think, he may be softening on that a little bit, but, you know, I'm the guy that's got to figure this out as governor. I'm going to figure out how, number one, to eliminate the school taxes, and number two, get the money to the schools that is needed there. That's what you hire a CEO / governor for.
Okay, so, but I think that this is important. I think that the party has to come together on this issue. And if you have the state chairman who's lukewarm on this idea, somebody needs to say, listen, here are the facts.
Correct. Well, that's why you have to have, you know, I hate to say this, you know, turkeys flock and eagles soar, Sue, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be out front leading. I'm going to be out front working on the issues, and then I have to come back and wear my Scott Wagner sales hat as governor, and then I have to go back and sell everybody, hey guys, let's look at the numbers. This is how this works. But that's what a leader does. And a leader tasks people with accomplishing a project. And that's what we don't have that with Governor Wolf. And we're not going to have it with anybody else. And I'm the person that could do this. But there's a sales job needed in many aspects in Harrisburg. And like, we need to look at this. Here are the numbers, and let's figure it out. That's where we are.
Okay. And I think that is wise. So, Scott, thanks for joining the show today and talking about a variety of wonderful issues. When's the next debate you're going to have?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to look on my schedule. Okay. You know, the debates are fun, but I think Sue, what the issue? I come from the private sector, and what happens with these debates is, you know, we the participants don't know what the questions are, mm-hmm. and we get asked a question, and we have a minute and 30 seconds to answer that question. So I don't know if there, you know, how much benefit there is. Because I would never call, you know, one of my senior managers in at my waste company, and we have a problem in our recycling facility. I say, well, you know, Tim, you have a minute and 30 seconds to tell me what's going on over there, why we lost money last month. You know, you don't do that. And so I don't know. I think, you know, there's an opportunity. There's more of an opportunity for people to see us when, as candidates, when we get out and speak, and we speak, you know, more in depth of the issues out there facing everybody. But we've got, I don't know, the next upcoming. But we have, I think, two or three more on the books.
Okay. It's great for you to call us and spend 15 minutes talking to us, too. We appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.